Thank you, Scott.
No problem. All right. You got two going.
Just thank all the sponsors.
Okay.
We have to schedule my name.
Okay.
Come on, it was hard to get that one.
A couple of quick announcements. If somebody lost some keys, a ring of keys was found. If anybody is looking for a ring of keys, if not, they'll be returned to the office. Also, we all know about the terrible tragedy that took place in Itamar, and there is a group of people that are learning Shas in memory of those, unfortunately, who lost their lives. And our shul has taken upon itself to learn Masechta Erevin. I believe several emails have gone out in connection with it. If you can sign up, you are encouraged to do so. And the information is available online. I want to acknowledge the president. Snuck in, but he's a man of great stature, literally and figuratively. Rabbi Yona Gross, who's here this morning from Congregation Beth Medrash. It's a tremendous schus. It's a tremendous personal privilege to be able to welcome Rabbi Willig to our shul. I think everybody knows that this is a pretty busy time of year in my profession. And if it's a busy time for local rabbis, then alachas kama v'kama, how much more so for those who have international portfolios. And Rabbi Willig, it's hard to imagine that he's only one person. He serves in so many different capacities, and each one with a remarkable sense of distinguishedness. He is, of course, a Rosh Yeshiva in YU, where he has, over the years, really, not hundreds, but thousands of Talmidim over the past several decades. He's a Skan Rosh Kol Hara at YU for the Yadin Yadin Kolel. He is a member of the Bezdin of America, and he is the Rav of the Young Israel of Riverdale. And in addition to all of these capacities, he has managed to find the time to print tens and tens of articles. His Svarim Am Mordechai are well known. We have them in our base medrash. And in addition, he is not only sought out as a posek for many of the most difficult and challenging questions of our day, but is a visionary. And really has stood at the vanguard of the issues that have faced our community, and has taken strong leadership roles in many areas. The promulgation of the halachic prenuptial agreement probably would not have happened, taken force, were it not for Rabbi Willig taking the stance necessary to make it go forward. But I can tell you that in addition to being a paisek, in addition to being a Rosh Kailal, of being a Rosh Yeshiva, to being a Mechaber Svarim, Rabbi Willig also finds the time to be the father of thousands of Talmidim. And it's remarkable to see how Talmidim of past and present come to him, and each one is rightfully convinced that he has the most special relationship with Rabbi Willig. He's been able to foster so many of those special relationships. And I feel, I guess I have my own set of special connections. In my youth, I lived in Riverdale. So at the time that the Willigs moved to Riverdale, and I'm particularly privileged that Rabbi Willig is a Mechutenschaft, and my brother-in-law is married to Rabbi Willig's daughter, and so it's a tremendous privilege. Rabbi Willig, I have to say, despite all the obligations placed upon him, despite the fact that he travels far and wide is very, very careful not to miss shiurim. And so therefore, the fact that he's chosen to be with us this morning is a very unusual situation. Thanks to modern technology, it's possible to Skype, and so therefore the shiur will go on via Skype following this year for his shiur. And I'd like to actually thank our executive director Gwen Horowitz and Rabbi Yehuda Seif for taking care of the logistics of this program in general, and this morning in particular. I think Rabbi Seif was busy setting up the Skype this morning. So we're grateful to them and to all of the sponsors who helped sponsor Kol Yom Rishon, and of course to Rabbi Willig. Unfortunately, the obligations of the rabbinate are not always predictable. And I unfortunately will not be able to stay for the entire presentation. It doesn't Chas V'Shalom suggest anything about the presenter or the presentation, only about demands placed on my time. So without further ado, it's a pleasure to call upon our Mordechai Willig to address us about Yanei Pesach.
Thank you very much for that very warm and exaggerated introduction. It's a pleasure to join you in this community, and the topic that I've chosen, I hope that you all have the source sheets, the dialectics of the Seder night, has particular meaning for me at this time and in this place. At this time, because I will be mentioning some of the Torah of my Rebbe, Zichrono Livracha, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, whose 18th Yahrzeit takes place on the holiday of Pesach. And in this place, because after my Rebbe passed away, a beautiful Torah journal was published in his memory. It was called Zichron HaRav. And the editor was none other than your own Mora D'Asra, Rav Shvidman Shalita. And much of what we'll be discussing today can be found originally in that publication, subsequently in the Sefer Amordechai, which came out recently on the Moadim. And so it's a pleasure to join you in Divrei Torah this morning. Without further ado, we're going to open up our source sheets and learn the Torah from the sources, which is the way it has to be learned. We start with source one. It's quoted from the Rif instead of the Gemara only because of the different girsa. Amar Yeshua ben Levi, Noshim Chayovos b'arba kosos halolu she'afein hoyu ba'oso hanes. Very famous word that women are obligated in the four cups of wine on Seder night because they too were involved in the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel dalat kosos halolu tzorach shemetevik mezikas kos yofe she'son chay. If a person drank the four cups of wine when they weren't properly mixed, it doesn't taste so good. What does it say? Yotzo yedei dalat kosos, v'lo yotzo yedei cheirus. He fulfilled the mitzvah of the four cups of wine, but did not fulfill the mitzvah of cheirus. Shison bevas achas. He guzzled down four cups of wine consecutively, not in the proper order. The proper order, as I'm sure you know, is to relate the four cups to four separate brachos. Kiddush, Haggadah, benching, and hollow. Didn't do that. Just guzzled them down. Yidei cheirus, yotze yidei cheirus, v'lo yotze yidei arba kosos. So, we speak about dialectic, or we call it in Brisk, tzvei dinim. We're right away struck that there are two separate dinim, which the Gemara has over here. One is called arba kosos, and one is called cheirus. And for those who are in the world of the Beis Medrash, know famously, it is elaborated upon by the Brisker Rav in his commentary on the Rambam, who quotes the Rif just about verbatim. And he explains that there are two separate and distinct halachos with respect to Arba Kosos. One is the mitzvah of Arba Kosos proper, that is of the four cups of wine associated with the respective brachas that we mentioned. And there's a second dimension, which is called the Derech Cheirus, which is simply drinking the wine. And you can have one without the other in either direction. This is a very, very important yesod. It teaches us that whenever we describe a mitzvah of afe and hoya ba'oso hanes, of which the four cups is one of the three found in the Talmud, we can describe it in two ways. There is a mitzvah itself, and then there is what we'll call the presumenisa aspect of the mitzvah, which is called here derech erus. This is something which is going to be the yesod of the entire shiur today. The Briskerov said it in his particular example of the Arabicosis. We're going to try to amplify this principle to see how it applies perhaps even beyond the realm of Pesach, and more particularly from our perspective to other mitzvahs in the holiday of Pesach as well. So let's first start outside of Pesach, and then we'll return to Pesach. Let's not forget, we're still in the month of Adar. 2 weeks ago exactly was the holiday of Purim. And so we'll go to source number three, where the Rav Yoh tells us there's an obligation of reading the Megillah. It means men are obligated to read the Megillah. The second line, Avol Nashim, Einon Ksheiros Likros Lahotzi Anashim. He quotes the Halachas Gedolos, that a woman is obligated, as we all know, to hear the Megillah, but she may not read the Megillah for a man. The question, of course, becomes, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, the same person, said on the fourth line, Nashim Chayabas Mikra Megillah. What does it mean? For the same reason, Oyeb also Anes, means Lishmoa Mikra Megillah, to hear the Megillah. But they're not obligated to read the Megillah. Very perplexing. What's the difference between reading and hearing? Same thing, right? If I hear it, I read it, I hear it. What's the difference? It must be some kind of a fundamental difference between hearing the Megillah and reading the Megillah. So I'm going to suggest an interpretation which is based on the Shuvas Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer says that the definition of Pirsume Nisa is something which is very famous and very obvious. What's obvious is Mefursum, is famous, is Pirsume Nisa. What's not so obvious, what is known only to the intellectual elite, by its very definition, cannot be considered to be Mefursum or famous. And the question begins, I'll ask a question of the audience. I'd like to have some interaction over here. 2 weeks ago, you were all here in shul, and you will fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah, correct? So far, correct? How did you fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah? Tell me, how did you fulfill the mitzvah?
Bitzibur,
okay. But what did you do? What was your action? What? You heard. Oh, okay. So the majority yelled out, you heard the Megillah. One person yelled out, Talmud Chacham, by saying, Shomea Ka'one. Shomea Ka'one is a halachic concept, that one who hears is considered as one who speaks himself. But that's not so famous. Only one person yelled out Shomea Ka'one. Everyone else yelled out, I heard the Megillah. And that's how the average person thinks. And it's not bad, I heard the Megillah, it's true. But a Talmud Chacham understands, it's not enough to hear the Megillah. You have to read the Megillah. But Shomea is Ka'one. So the Avnei Nezer suggests that if you're talking about the possibility of Shomea Ka'onek, that's not called Mefursa. It's not famous that everybody in this room heard the Megillah 2 weeks ago. What's famous is, read the Megillah 2 weeks ago. What's famous is that everybody in this room heard the Megillah two weeks ago. Therefore, we can make the following suggestion. Women are only obligated in the Pirsume Nisa aspect of these mitzvahs. And the Pirsume Nisa aspect of the mitzvah of Megillah is to hear the Megillah. Women are not obligated in the core mitzvah. What's the core mitzvah of the Megillah? The mitzvah of the Megillah is what? Again, to read the Megillah. The mitzvah saseh shazman gerama. It's a time-dependent commandment. Women are generally speaking exempt. The exception is pirsume nisa. And the pirsume nisa aspect of the Megillah is the hearing and not the reciting. That's my understanding of the Baal Halachas Gedolos quoted by the Rav Yoh. But here's the punchline. The punchline is the very end of this Rav Yoh. There's a third case, one more case. Who knows a third case of Afen Hoya Bosa? There's only one more. What is it? Ner Chanukah, very good. The Rav Yoh quotes that third case. Isha Vade Madlekes, again, the next to the last line in source 3, of Yeshua ben Levi, the same person. Noshim Chayovas Bener Chanukah, and there too, Afen Hoya Bosa Benes. Says the Rav Yoh something amazing. But Dakti Baalochas Gedolos, I looked around to see in the Halachos Gedolos to find something. What's he looking for? He's obviously looking for some kind of a parallel, that the same logic that would apply to Megillah might apply to Ner Chanukah as well. He just didn't find it. But of course the question becomes, before we proceed further, what was he thinking? What would have been the parallel? What's the parallel to hearing the Megillah and to reading the Megillah? What do you say?
Lighting the Chanukah candles.
Yeah.
As opposed to just saying Shasan Nisim.
Very good. So lighting the Chanukah candles, I think, is a correct analogy to the reading of the Megillah. What's comparable to the hearing of the Megillah?
Seeing.
Very good. To paraphrase the rabbis, Doma Shmiel Ariya. In this particular case, Shmiel is like Ariya. Hearing the Megillah is passive, and so is seeing the Ner Chanukah. And it's also much more famous. If you go to a house where, let's say, only the Baal HaBayis lit the Ner Chanukah, and you ask the average person in the house, well, how did you fulfill the mitzvah? So the average person will say, what do you mean? I saw the Ner Chanukah. That's like I heard the Megillah. That's famous. What's the real reason? With Talmud Chacham, what's the real reason? No. What's the real reason that the woman or the man who's watching it fulfilled the mitzvah? What's the real reason? Nitzvah Chanukah Nereshu Beisa. Talmud Chachamim, no. But that's not so famous. So what's famous is everyone seeing it. What's not so famous is an obligation upon the household. So that's what he was looking for. He didn't find it, but it could have been. The fact that he was looking for it means it was something to be found. And then the last line of Rav Yoh. V'chein noshim chayovos be'arba kosos. The Rav Yoh was looking. He's looking to Bahak to find something if he would make the distinction. Here we already know what the distinction is. The Brisker Rav taught us a distinction with respect to arba kosos shalyayim. What is the core mitzvah and what is the prisum anisa aspect? The core mitzvah, once again, is associating these four cups of wine with the four brachas of Kiddush, Haggadah, benching, and Hallel. And the prisum anisa aspect is none other than drinking the four cups of wine. That demonstrates freedom. The demonstration of freedom is by drinking wine. Where do we find this in the Rambam? In Halacha Vav, this is source 4, the last few lines on this page, and the first page of the sources. Bechol dor v'dor, chayv adam laharos es atzmo, kilu atzmo yotza atzmo v'shibu Mitzrayim. You have to demonstrate that you came out of Mitzrayim. How do you demonstrate this? How do you demonstrate it? So you got to demonstrate by just turning the page. The top of the next page. What does it say there? Leficha, kishesoed adam belayla hazeh, tzarech lecha v'lishtos v'meisiv derecheiros. Hasebel, which we'll get to later. V'cholecha v'yechol bein anoshim bein noshim chayav lishtos belayla hazeh arba kosel shalyayin. Alright? So you have to have the four cups of wine to demonstrate cheiros. That's the presumenis aspect, is the drinking. So we've now demonstrated, ladies and gentlemen, three cases in the Talmud with the Torah the same phrase, Noshim Chayavos She'afen Hoya Ba'oso Hanes. The way we're following the Bahag, we're suggesting women are only chayav in the Pesum and Nisa aspect of these three, respectively. It is the drinking of the wine, it is the seeing the menorah, and it is the, go back to the original paradigm, hearing the Megillah. But they're exempt because it's Zman Gerama from placing the wine in the order of the various brachos, from lighting the menorah per se, and from reading the Megillah, because those mangarama, they're only having the presumptive aspect. Where do you find it from the Briskerov's explanation? Adkan, the first part of today's shiur. Any questions? If there cannot be, wait, ask them now. If they can wait, I prefer to wait till the end of the shiur. Yes?
If a woman lights a candle in the house for her husband, he's not Yotze?
He is Yotze. That's a good question. Excellent question. If this parallel is true, why should her candle work for him? Here's the answer. The answer is mitzvah Chanukah ner ishu beso. It's not a personal obligation, it's an obligation on the household. And therefore, any member of the household whose ner Chanukah has meaning and significance, it works. A chersha de vakata, not. But an isha is vare maldukot. The Gemara never says she's obligated in hadlaka. As it's quoted over here in source number 3. Isha vade madlekes, her nair counts. That's all it says. But it's an excellent question. That really is a great question. Any question as great as that, feel free to ask at any moment. Don't just raise your hand any time. Such a good question. Yes.
How about that? Can we learn all this from the nature of the bracha?
Excellent. Excellent. The bracha. The fact that the bracha on Mikra Megillah is what? Is al Mikra Megillah, indicates that the core mitzvah is kriya. Women, according to the Rav Yoh, make a bracha of Lishma Megillah, because they're only obligated in the Shmi aspect. Excellent.
How about Shmi is called Shofar,
same way. Shofar is a different story. There you have to hear the Shofar. It's a little bit different. Not exactly the same. But I should say, speaking about the bracha, who wants to tell me, right by showing your hand, which bracha is associated with these mitzvahs? It's only found in these mitzvahs, nowhere else. Sha'asa nisim. Sha'asa nisim na'avoseinu. We say only twice. We say it by the Megillah, we had it 2 weeks ago, we just remember that. And we said it by Ner Chanukah. Now you ask me another question.
Why don't we say it by the...
Oh, what? These are all... These people are great. By the time we finish, everyone's going to be a Talmud Chacham. We're going to have a Pirsum Anisa, everybody. Why don't we say it by the four cups of wine? My whole shiur is being taken away. Baruch Hashem, I love this shiur. Everyone's taken away my shiur. I'm not sure if in this shiur they say Yotris in the shiur. Most shuls say. My shul still, we're still on the old fashioned, we still say Yotzrus. This is, can be found if you have an art scroll sitter, if they still have Yotzrus in the art scroll sitter. If you have my version, you can open it up. This is the Hebrew only version of the art scroll. If you have the English, you can find it as well. And it'll even be better if you find it in English. You can read the English as well. So in my edition, it's page 384. In your English editions that some of you have, you can look at the back. V'yotzu l'Shabbos HaGadol. It is a piyut written by the Rishonim, Rabbi Yosef Tuv Elam, who was quoted by Tosfos in Masechta Pesachim, and he wrote a beautiful piyut that's called Elokei Aruchos, and at the end he has his name, Yosef Kohakoton Bar Shmuel Chazak. That's the way it ends. And in the Reish of Bar, it says as follows: Risho Mivorech Alayay. Bar Pregoff. V'chakach kiddush, mekadosh Yisrael v'azmanim, uzman, what's zman mean? Shechiyanu, azman hazeh. Ve'eino omer neis adayin. He asks your question. Why don't you say, she'os anisim? He asks the question. And what's the answer? He gives your answer. She'tzarech la'omer v'agoda. You have to say, go'al Yisrael. V'roi l'chof lo ayin. And to have it twice is inappropriate. My Rebbe Zichron of the Rocha was fond of quoting this line. I heard it from him more than once. He loved this line from the Yotzer for Shabbos HaGadol, and he would make a big deal out of it. So Sha'as HaNisim is in fact a sign of it being in this category of Pisum HaNisa, which has its own rules and regulations. One, women are obligated. Two, you make a bracha of Sha'as HaNisim. Three, not for now, in the terms of the Megillah, it's more important even than Talmud Torah, the Rabin. If you look at Megillah Daf Gimel, and the Rambam, and the Rashash, not for now, the whole discussion. Four, perhaps, you have to get sick over it. The Gemara tells us that one of the Amoraim got sick till Shavuos for the four cups of wine, and some say it's only these. And five, this may cost you, you may regret this, how much money must you spend on a typical mitzvah? How much? What's the maximum? Max! Maximum percentage of your income has to go for a mitzvah. How much? No one knows?
One-fifth.
Maximum. What about the four cups of wine? The Mishnah says, I feel the onish should be Yisrael. You have to give him four cups. Why? He's potter. He's potter. He's potter. He has no money. Must be that Pirsume Nisa is unique in this regard. How do I know that it's true? The Rambam says you have to sell your shirt off your back in order to light Ner Chanukah. So the Magen Mishnah says, where'd he get it from? Doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara, nowhere. Ah, he must have gotten it from the four cups of wine. What's the connection between the four cups of wine and Ner Chanukah? There's only one connection. What is it? Pirsum HaNisa. So the fifth difference is it costs you a lot of money. Either more than one-fifth of your money if you have to expend it for these three mitzvahs of Megillah, Ner Chanukah, and Abba Kossos. Keep it in mind, okay? So we have a whole new category with five differences. Women are chayev, you make a separate bracha, you have to give all your money, and you have to get sick over it, right? And it's about Talmud Torah Rabban, a new category called Pirsubanis. Good, yes?
Do women have to say Gal Yisrael?
Yes.
So they
yep.
obligate to say
yes, they should, absolutely, yes.
What about Pirsubanis? We say Al Nisim.
Okay, that's good. Yes?
What about Birkas HaMitzvahs? We don't have Birkas HaMitzvahs on Arba Kosos.
That's a good question. Where's the Birkas HaMitzvahs for the Arba Kosos? So that's another thing my rabbi used to always talk about at the Rishonim, the Balamor, the Meiri, that if you have a different bracha, you don't write Birkas HaMitzvahs. By Krishna, best example. There's no Birkas HaMitzvahs because you have three other brachas for Krishna. So here you have other brachas on the Arba Kosos. There's no Birkas HaMitzvahs. Okay, that's an excellent question. So far, all the questions have been good. I don't know how it can go like this. This is a very unusual crowd over here. Yes?
Concerning that, if Chirut is the aspect that women are obligated
right.
upon, and we show Chirut by Haseba,
right.
so why aren't women...
Okay. I was going to do it the other way around, but because of this question, I'll go right to this. Okay. He wants to know, what do women do about Haseba? It's an excellent question. Let's take a look in the source sheet. It's going to come up towards the very end. But since you raised the question, we'll see right now. This is found in source 16. Isha eina tzricha seba. So tells us the Gemara. Elam keni chashuva. This doesn't sound politically correct. Unless it's important. But wait, the next line. Every woman is chashuv. Nonetheless, why? The same gadol, the Rav Yoh, the kasav de bizman hazeh ein lahasev. The Rav Yoh said, "What's the point of reclining? You know, if you ever saw those old pictures, Nero, you know, the emperors of Rome, were in the Talmudic times were reclining they on their couches when they ate." Right? So that demonstrated freedom. Today no one reclines. So it doesn't demonstrate freedom, so why bother doing it? So the women rely upon the Rav Yoh. What's the obvious question? What about the men? Why don't we rely on the Rav Yoh? That's an excellent question. It's an excellent, excellent question. What's the difference between women and men? I get carried away with that question. Here's the answer. The answer is as follows. In source number 13, but we'll see 12 just to get a flavor. 12 is Erev Pesachim Samoch Mincha Lo'chad Shetechshach. I feel the Oni should be Yisrael Lo Yochel Ad Sheyosev and Lo Yivchus Lo Me'arba Kol Shiyayim. I feel the Manatamcha, as we spoke about before. So in number 13, the second part, I feel the Oni should be Yisrael Eses Tosfos. The Salka Daitach the Hasebas Oni Lo Chashiva Haseba. He has nothing to recline on. So you might have thought that a rich person who's living in comfort should recline. But a pauper living in a hovel, what's the point of reclining? Doesn't show anything, doesn't demonstrate anything. He has no couch, he's on a bench, on a hard bench, nothing. So that's the havamina. What's the maskana? What is the maskana? Kamash malam, even a poor person has to recline. Why? There are two possibilities. Either he has to recline, it's still called Derech Eris, or he has to recline even though it's not Derech Eris. Well, how would you have? How what do you think? What do you guess? It's a 50-50, it's a toss-up. The Ramah says he has to recline in Dake Moshe even though it is not Derech Eris. Well then why? If you look at the Medrash Rabbah, the Medrash Rabbah in Parashas B'Shalach says, "Vayasev Elokim Esa'om Derech Hamidbar Yamsuf Mikan Afilu Oni Shebi Yisrael Lo Yochol Ad SheYosef." What's the Medrash telling us? That the reason of demonstrating freedom does not apply to an Oni. Nonetheless, it's a remembrance of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us when He took us out of Mitzrayim. The Medrash understands Vayasev not as He took us around in circles, which is a simple interpretation, but He took us out in comfort. He took us out, we all flew first class. I've never been in first class, but they tell me. Then you go up there, it's mamash, they give you a couch, you can recline. We went first class. So it's called a zechel and ace. As a remembrance of the Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out first class, we're required to do a save. Even though for us, it doesn't demonstrate freedom, because we are on him, we have a havel, we don't have any couch, we're on the floor. Doesn't matter. It's a zeichel and ace. So here too, we've established, with respect to a seva, that there are two dimensions. There is the zeichel and ace, which is probably the core mitzvah, and then there was the Pirsuma Nisa, the Derech Cheirus. Now go back to our paradigm from before. What do you think women are obligated to do? The core mitzvah or the Pirsuma Nisa aspect? Okay, the right answer. The Pirsuma Nisa aspect. So here's as follows. The Rav Yoh didn't hold some Zeichel Nes at all. He held that Haseba is purely Pirsuma Nes, and therefore no longer applies nowadays, where reclining proves absolutely nothing. That's the Rav Yoh's own personal view. We don't rely upon him completely. Why? Because we're afraid there's another view, this Pirsuma Nes. And then there's Zeichel Nes, a poor person, has no Pirsuma Nes, he has to do Haseba anyway, because of Zeichel Nes. So therefore, we on this side of the Mechitza, we recline because we have Zeichel Nes. But the women rely upon the Rav Yoh. Why? Because Pirsuma Nes does not apply. That's true, no one argues with that. Men are obligated. Why? Because of Zeichel Nes. Zeichel Nes, women are putter from, because the mitzvah of cessation is Mangaroma, the same as the putter from Kriya and Adlaka and the seed of Rochel Akos, because the mitzvah of cessation is Mangaroma. Yes, sir.
Is our Haseba real Haseba?
That's another story, not for tonight, not for this morning. That's a different question.
Another point. The Urcha Shulchan says that women should not pour the wine for the men because this is a Messiah.
Okay, good. Very good. Let's now go back to a much more fundamental point, which I want to get to in this morning's Shia. Much more fundamental. We've therefore discussed so far really four mitzvahs, all the Rabbanan, right? That's one of the four Rabbanan mitzvahs. Let's chazer again, review. Abba Kaisis, we started with, then we went to the Megillah, we went to Nechanukah, and because of your question, we ended up with our Seba. Question. This is the most important conceptual question. Where did the rabbis get all this from? They created a whole new category with five nafkaminis. And we applied that to three times in Talmud Bavli. We made a fourth one out of Haseba. All the Rabbanans.
So they made it up like that.
They made it up. Oh. We have a general principle. The Gemara has it more than one place. Since Sochem also. Call the Tikkun Rabbanan. Came the Raisa Tikkun. They had some. So they got it from somewhere. Where'd they get it from? So now we go back. You're right, they made it up, but they got it from somewhere. So now, I must say, I'm looking at my watch. We finished the first half of the shiur. Okay, we're more or less on schedule. We now go to the second. We start with source number two. Source number two is Minchas Chinuch Mitzvah Chafal, which is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, at the end, those vav. The Chinuch writes, Nohegas Bizchorim in the Kevas. Dova ze Chidush Godol Etzli. Lama ye Noag Mitzvah Zu Benoshim. Kev in the Havi. I'm glad Rosh Hashanah is here. Mitzchas Chinuch Torah. Mitzvah Asay Shazman Gerama V'Noshim Peturus. The Rambam writes by Matzah. Hope we'll get to Matzah later. V'Furish V'Noshim Chayavus. Avokan Lo Kosav Ze. V'Lo Matzasi Ze B'Shum Mokom. I find nowhere that women are obligated in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not only that, Ayin Rambam Perek Yud Beis Milchos Akum. Choshev HaMitzvah Asay Shazman Gerama V'Noshim Chayavus. There are five. Kiddush, Matzah, Pesach, Simcha, Hakel. That's it. Only five. Only five. Only five. That's it. Says the Minchas Chinuch on the fourth line. V'lomar hatam shenoshim hoyu gamken b'oso hanes kemo mikro megillah v'dal kosas. Nuh-uh. For ochicho atosas is of a zeh eno ela derabonan b'chol mokum. So it can't be. Because Tosfos proved that it's only the Rabbanan. Is that quite the case? Actually, there are really two deis in Tosfos. Let's see the Tosfos ourselves. I think the Tosfos is over here. Let's find this Tosfos. This is source number six. Yesh Maksha. We'll come back to Minchas Chinuch soon. Lamali Hekesha. The kol sheyeshnu v'bal tochel chometz yeshnu v'kum achol matzah. Women are chayv v'matzah because they're chayv v'chometz. Hey, what a great question. That's what the Minchas Chinuch quotes. This only works on the level of the Rabbanan. But he didn't quote the second Teretz. Rabbeinu Yosef Ishi Yerushalayim Teretz. The Saka Daitach Lemifchim Exer Shavah Tetzvav Tetzvav Dechag HaSukkos. And that's why he would have been Potter, Kamash, and Yechayev. According to Rabbeinu Yosef Ishi Yerushalayim, the principle of af and hoyo also an ace seems to be a principle in midaraisa. And the only reason we does not apply it to matzah because of an outside reason. Namely what? Namely, you would have thought it's compared to sukkah. Why don't you apply it to sukkah itself? It's another good question. Sukkah also af and hoyo also an ace. Not for now, a long discussion. Was it really an ace by sukkahs? We would be saved from mortal danger to the Anani HaKavod or not. The best place to look is in Rabbi Avadya Yosef Sefer Chazon Avadya. There's a long discussion about this, but we don't have time to go into it right now. But Tosis does say that the principle of Afen Hayabos Nes would be applicable in theory to Matzah, to Sukkah, and may even be a Doraisa. Minchas Tiras discounts it. I don't know why. He seems to be ignoring Rabbi Yosef Ishi Rishalai. So therefore we can make the following suggestion, but let's first see what the I better make my suggestion first, because there's a lot of back and forth in the Minchas Chinuch. He suggests that it comes from Zochas Yom HaShabbos Lekacho as compared to Zochas Asher to the Mitzvah of Zohar as a Yom HaZeh Shetos Mitzrayim. That's a very big Chiddush. He made up his own Zera Shava. He made up his own drasha. If you look in Cheshek Shlomo and Psachim, he also makes up his own thing. It says Zochar Sayom Hazeh. It's in the Siddur, in Parshas Kadesh. V'lo yachal chometz. So women who can't eat chometz also have to have sipur. So Rav Zevin asks him, "What am alacham? He became a Tana. Have your own drasha." The Rambam made up his own drasha based on the Medrash. They take it so seriously. They compare it to Kiddush. Very difficult. So therefore, what really is the reason? What is the source? The women are chayav according to Shita HaSefer HaChinuch. So perhaps the answer is, it's linked directly to the mitzvah of Leil Pesach. The stipula, the Kilus Yaakov says it's based on matzah. Women are chayav in matzah, we all know. Lechem she'onim alav, nu, dvarim harbe. So you have to have that garden connection with matzah. Since women are chayav in matzah, they're chayav in the Haggadah as well. Haggadah is very, very closely linked to the mitzvah of matzah. How does the stipula prove it? He proves it by quoting source number 11. Source number 11. We'll start the second part on the final page of the finest page of sources. Who said the God in Rav Yosef's house? Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was blind. Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes. How can it be? Kasavi Rabbanon. Matzah bezman azed the Rabbanon. Okay? If matzah is the Rabbanon, then Sipur Yisrael is the Rabbanon, and the Suma can be motzi others. So Gemara wants to know, what if matzah, but Rav Acha holds matzah is the Raisa? I holds the Rabbanon? Kosova called the Tikkun Rabbanon. Here it is. Can the Raisa Tikkun? Okay, whole discussion. Not from, says it's stipulated. You see from one thing from the Gemara. There's a connection between what and what? Matzah and Sipur. If matzah is the Raisa, Sipur is the Raisa, matzah is the Rabbanon, Sipur is the Rabbanon. Whatever the conclusion is, you see there's a link. That's what the stipula says. Very nice. It's not completely satisfying for some technical reasons. So I'd like to give yet a different interpretation along the lines of the stipula, closest to him. But I'm going to give you a source from a Rishon. I didn't make it up myself. And this can be found over here in source number 7. Source number 7. Tashbeitz, Aleph Gimel. Linyan Pesach Nirata Mefurish. Why are women chayav in Korban Pesach, which is still one of the five of the Rambam? Vishatam Shah Pesach Al Shem Shah Pesach Al Mokom Abote Al Vosenu B'Mitzrayim B'Nok Bos Mitzrayim Es Boteinu Hitzel Pesach Al Pashas Bo Veheim Hoyu B'Yoso Anes. They are obligated in Pesach because they were saved from Mitzrayim. Look at that. Look at that. Amazing. So Rav Avadya says, oh, he holds a Rav Yosef Yerushalayim that applies the mitzvah, the principle of what? Of Af and Hayaboso Anes to all mitzvahs Doraisa on a Doraisa level. So you have it on Korban Pesach too. I don't think it's the case, as we shall see soon. Or he says, It's a chayiv in matzah because kol sheyeshno. So they're also chayiv in korban pesach for exactly the same reason. A matzah simroim yochlu. Uve gemara lamdu the michsas nefashos vafilu isha. The gemara besach the psach. Okay, fine. Psachim tzadi alf. Good. Let me tell you what my rebbe explained to us. Rebbe quoted his father as saying that he thinks that Tosis kasha is no kasha. The kasha from sukkah, the kasha from matzah, no kasha. You know why? Because those are not mitzvahs of pirsume nisa. They are mitzvahs of what we call in our language, zecher l'nes. It's clear that we eat matzah and korban pesach as a, at least a zecher l'nes. Excuse me, matzah and sukkah, zecher l'nes. But nowhere does it say with respect to matzah and sukkah, it's any kind of a concept of pirsume nisa. It's a unique category of pirsume nisa to which matzah and sukkah do not belong. That's how I read the Tashbetz. Not the Rebbe Vadi read it the same as the Rosh of Yeshiva Yerushalayim. And I'm reading the way my Rebbe said. It's these unique category. But what is the deraisa model after which all these rabbanos are based? What is it, said the Tashbetz? What is it? You just read it. L'inyan Pesach women achayev why? Afen hoye boso anes. Here we have it. Korban Pesach. Where do we find in Korban Pesach that has to do with the nes? The pasuk. Va'amartem zevach Pesach hu l'Hashem. Al shav Pesach abata, and he quotes the rest of the pasuk. That is the source. That I'm telling you, my chiddush, the source midat Torah upon which all the rabbanim was based is Pesach. Therefore, although the Chinuch himself says as a result of this, the women are obligated, technically speaking, in the mitzvah Hasei number 21, which is Sibri Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rambam didn't go that far. Rambam left it out. The Rambam did not, he only has five. Right, we saw what were the five? Matz, Kiddush, Matzah, Pesach, Simcha, and Halal. That's it. Only has five. Nonetheless, according to the Rambam, on a practical level, women are obligated to see. How do I know? The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs said there are only 60 of the 248 mitzvahs apply nowadays. Less than one-fourth. Out of those 60, women are only obligated in some and not in others. And he gives you a list. If you go through that list, women, it turns out, are obligated in Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. On the bottom of the Numen Chas Chinuch, he has a question. That Rambam contradicts the Rambam we just saw in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. They are only chayv in five. And here he seems to say they're chayv in the sixth. The answer is as follows. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs is simply giving you a kitzur Shulchan Aruch. What the do's and the don'ts. Not giving you any lumdus. In lumdus, they're putter. But in practical, they're chayv. Why are they chayv? They're chayv because they're chayv in all the mitzvahs that we have to do. In those days it was called Pesach, now it's matzah. And then on a practical basis, women are required to speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim because of their chayiv through the back door, through matzah, through Korban Pesach, etc. So even though they're not chayiv in this mitzvah technically of the 613, but practically they are chayiv. That's my answer to the contradiction which is raised on the footnote at the bottom of the Numen Chas Chinuch. In any event, it seems as a Torah obligation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, whether an independent mitzvah or going together with the Pesach or the Matzah. And this is a requirement that women have. Now, this ideal says very bold. How dare I say such a thing? As a connection between the Afen Hoya Be'oso Anes and a mitzvah such as Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? The Minchasim said he never heard such a thing. You know where we have it? We just said it. We just said it in the Siddur. So you don't make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim, which is the defining bracha of Pesum and Nisa aspect, we don't find except where we have it, because the Tzorach Lama Ba'agoda, Gal Yisrael. Upon what mitzvah is Gal Yisrael said? Gal Yisrael said on the mitzvah of the Haggadah, obviously. You see, klar, that the Haggadah is the mitzvah of Pesum and Nisa, which is the Doraisa, not only, that's the paradigm, that's the model, after which all the rabbinical mitzvahs were in fact based. This, therefore, is my understanding of the din of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. This being the case, we'll take a look at the very end of the Sefer of Minchas Chinuch, the last line. The essay zu is source two. The last line is source two. The essay zu kishar essen the kfiya ashtetze nafsho ubizbuz mamono. You have to spend up to 1/5 of your money for the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. In my opinion, this is not correct. Why is it not correct? Because if we say you have to spend 1/5 more than 1/5 of your money, for what? For what? For new?
Wine.
For wine. Mountain. And for Ner Chanukah, and presumably for the Megillah. Because why? Presuming this is its own category. And what's that category based upon? What? Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And here too, you should certainly spend more than 1/5 of your money. And I'll prove that I'm right. I'll prove to you that I'm right. What is the source we saw before that women are obligated in Korban Pesach? We just read it before. Michsas Nefashos. Right? Did we read that yesterday? I think so, right? Parshas HaChodesh? Who paid attention? If I'm not mistaken, we read it yesterday in the Kriyas HaTorah. If you look at the Netziv on that Pasuk, Michsas Nefashos has the following incredible insight. What is meches? Who speaks modern Hebrew? What's meches? Tax. You'll call up the IRS and say, Uncle Sam, I'm potter from taxes here. Why? It's more than 1/5 of my income. My rabbi said, more than 1/5 of my income, I don't have to die. What are you, crazy? It's a tax. A tax. So the Netziv writes that the reason Chazal Michsas Nefashos, Korban Pesach, you have to give more than 1/5 of your money to buy the Korban Pesach. And he quotes our Gemara of Arba Kosis. What's to do Arba Kosis with Korban Pesach? It's proof that I'm right. That it's came, there is a tikkun. That the four cups of wine are based upon Sipur, which is based upon Vamatas of Pesach, as the Tashbet says. So therefore, there are, in fact, the law requires you spend more than 1/5 of your money on Korban Pesach, just like Arba Kosis. What do you mean, just like? That came much before Arba Kosis. It's the other way around. Called the Tikkun Rabbanu came there as a Tikkun. When the rabbis got to Arba Kosis, they knew about it from Korban Pesach. This is what I wanted to suggest to answer this question. Okay, Rabbosai, we've gotten through now. We started with four cups of wine, we went to Megillah, we went to Chanukah, we went to Aseba, now we went to the midst of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is, we're saying, is a paradigm for this entire category of mitzvah presumenisa, and therefore women are obligated, either directly, or as we said before, indirectly. Now, there's a problem in the Rambam. The Rambam tells us over here, in source 4, Halacha Aleph, mitzvah saseh shel Torah l'sapeh v'nissen v'neflos shenasel avosen b'mitzrayim b'lechemishosem b'nissen shenema. Zochar sayom azeh asher yitzasim Mitzrayim. So it's based upon the mitzvah of Zochar. Okay? Mitzvah of Zochar. Fine. We'll skip to Halacha Hey for the moment. We learn kol mishlo oma shlosh advarim ele b'pes v'lechemishosem v'yotzei chavos v'elehein Pesach matzah moror. And he concludes udvarim ha'elu kulam heim anikroim ha'godah. There's a big dispute. What is Dvarim Ha'elu Kulon Hei? What does it mean? My opinion is the Dvarim, the word Dvarim in the last line of Halacha Hei refers to the Dvarim in the first line of Halacha Hei. Shlosha Dvarim. That's it. Others disagree with me and go back. We skip Beis Gimel and Dalet, but it's not for now. So I'm assuming this way. Dvarim, right? Dvarim, Lekzer Hashav, and the Rambam. The Dvarim is this. This is what's called Agada. What am I saying over here? We had two halachas, right? That's a dialectic. Two halachas and Arba Kosis in Megillah, in their Chanukah, right? And then we have it in the mitzvah, in Aseba, and we have it again on a practical level in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, what we call Haggadah as well. What are they? They are, Rabbosai, the two Mishnayos that are found in Masechta Pesachim, consecutively. This is found over here in source number 10. The first source, the first Mishnah, Maschel Begnus, Messiah Beshvach, V'doresh Me'arami Ovid-Ovi Al-Kimur Kol HaParasha Kula. That is the mitzvah of Haggadah as an independent mitzvah. Free standing. Next Mishnah, Rabbi Galil Omer, Kol Shlo'oma Shlo'zvorom L'yotzei Chovoso, Pesach Matzen Moro. And the Rambam understands this. You have to say these things, Halacha Hei, What do you mean lo yatzei chavasa? Chavas what? Chavas sipri yitzias mitzrayim. You have to have these three things. Here we have sipri yitzias mitzrayim not disconnected, completely freestanding, but rather what? Connected intimately with Pesach, Matzah, and Morah. Where did the Rambam get these two things from? So my opinion is, from two different psukim. And the two psukim, you have to be an expert in Chumash to know where the psukim are found. Since we don't know by heart, source number 9, you have it there. It's all in the 13th parak of Shmos, which some of us say every day in Kaddish Li. Vayom Moshe, Pesach Gimel. Zohar Sayom Azeh. Asher Tzalsi Mishan Beis Avodim. This is the Halacha Aleph from the Rambam. An independent mitzvah to discuss Yitzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night. Pesach Zayim. Matzah Seyochel Shiva Seyomim. Pesach Ches. Vigata Lebincha Bayom Ahu Leimor. Bavu Zeh. What does it say in the Haggadah? Bavu Zeh. B'shosh Sheyesh what? Matzah Umorah B'nochel Lefonecha. How did the Haggadah know it? Because the very previous Pesach talks about Matzah. More goes together with Matzah. So you have two different mitzvahs. You have Zohar Sayom Azeh, which is an independent mitzvah. That's the first Mishnah. So Arami Avirav, the entire, from Avodah Mayinu, all the way until Rabbi Gamliel. And the second mitzvah, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, that Mishnah, is the mitzvah of Sipri Yitzias Mitzrayim in conjunction with the Pesach, the Matzah, and the Morah. So it's now Tzvei Dinim, two halachas, the dialectic, even with respect to the mitzvah of Haggadah. And I want to tell you a proof that this is correct. If you take a look in source number five, halacha beis, okrin ha-shulchan, if they kori ha-gadol levat, you pull away the shulchan which has all the mitzvahs on it, halacha gimel, u-maschel b'gnus, kori ha-shigom ha-drosha, pasha ha-ramekula, halacha dalet, u-machzir ha-shulchan lefan ha-romer, pesach zeh, pshish. When is the matzah on the table according to the Rambam? Lechem Rishon Dvarim Harbe. We have it on the table the entire Magid, not the Rambam. He took it away and he didn't put it back until when? To Rambam Gamliel Omer. Pesach Zeh. It was missing. Why was it missing? To demonstrate that what we call Magid, the bulk of what we call Magid, has nothing to do with Pesach Matzah Morah. It's Zohar Siyom Hazeh. It's an independent mitzvah. It has nothing to do with anything. Then the second part, the Tzveita Din of Magid, which has to do with Pesach Matzah Morah, so you got to bring the matzahs back. As soon as you bring the matzahs back, the next one out of your mouth is Pesach Leh, or Rabbi Gamliel Omer, as we start. This will also explain to us a number of remarkable dinim, which can be found on your last page of the source sheet. Quite remarkable. You'll see in source number 17, women have to understand the Haggadah. They translate it to English and laundry from London. The Mishnah 17, the Sharigam Noshim Chayavas B'mitzvah Salayla U'Vamiris Haggadah. And the Chiyav and the Mishareses should sit by the table to hear the whole Haggadah if she can, if possible. At the very least, you have to call her in for when? After Kiddush. Shagiel Rabbi Gamliel Omer Kol Shaloma. Tichnos v'tishma arachas shias kos beis. Mishal omer gimel dvarim lo yotza. Wait a minute. Whoa, you mean we can all? What? What? We had a shortcut, a shortened version of the Seder. Come around, Gamliel Omer. What's going on? The answer is go back to our original Yisod. We suggested that women are potter from the independent mitzvah of what? Of Sivri Zman Groma. What are they chayav in? The Pesubei Nisa, which is connected to what? To the Pesach Matzah Morah. So therefore, in a pinch, does the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishareses, can come in for Rabbi Gamliel Omer, and thereby she can fulfill the mitzvah of Sivri Tzitz Mitzrayim, which she's obligated in, which is only the aspect which connects to the Pesach Matzah and Morah. It's interesting. There's a whole dispute whether women are chayiv in the Haggadah at all. So the Minchas Chinuch, just go back for a moment to source number 2, says, although I'm firmly opposed to the Chinuch, I don't know where he got it from, that they're obligated on a level of Doraisa, that I think is completely wrong, but I'm the first to concede that's on a level of the Rabbanan, that women are certainly chayef. Where does he say it? He says, after the last three lines in source two, the gam and the Rabbanan bevarei noshim chayavos, the chayavim bedalat kosos. So they're obviously on the level of the Rabbanan, the chayev, because the dalat kosos are connected to, let's go, Kiddush, Haggadah, Benching, and Halal. So the chayev and Halal too, because the chayev and Arba Kosos. But there are some poskim who maintain, great rabbis, women are potter from Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The obvious question is, what are they going to do with the fact that women are chayev and Arba Kosos? What's the answer? If you remember at the beginning of this year, they're only chayev in the pesumei nisa aspect, which you can fulfill by guzzling down four cups, the brisker rav. This is not compelling to minchas finichas. Now, back to the sources, this last source sheet, last page. Source number 14, coming up in less than 2 weeks. V'aminig l'omah b'mincha ha'agodan v'an shabbos ha'agodol mitchilas avodem mayinu ad l'chab al-chal avonosein. 15, kot b'shem ba'agro kosu shelo hoya noag b'zeh. So on a simple level, the Ramon knows this. That's only when you're obligated. It's only a minig. No problem. But one could say no. The Gra says it's not even right, because the minig is that you should only do it at night. Not even not be bod yom. If that's the case, how will the Ramon respond? So I'll ask you a question. Why does the Ramo write Ad lechaper al kol avonosein? A strange Ramo. You're reading avonim, you know, you're about to come to the goal line, to the finish line, and you stop. What's the next word in the Haggadah after lechaper al kol avonosein? Rabbi Gamliel Omer. This is Mosek Mitvash. The Ramo was aware of the gross kasha, but that's b'shosh yishmat zemor. That's the second part of the Haggadah. That's the second. That's the part which relates to that you can't do by day. That's why the Ramah stopped dead in his tracks just before the end. It's fantastic. That's what the masters are only brought out according to the Ramah at the very end. This is, I think, a fantastic shot to explain for us this Ramah. Now, I have only a short amount of time to go. I want to discuss two more brief points. We've already discussed the Arba Kosos and the Chanukah and the Megillah and the Haseba and the Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're going to touch matzah very briefly. Why should matzah lose? That's it. We only have two mitzvahs d'oraisa nowadays. One of them is Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim and one is matzah. Are there two dinim and matzah also? That seems to be incorrect. I got to be two dinim and matzah. That sounds like it's impossible. Well, take a look over here in source number 13. It says Lo yochol asher techshach makshim. It's obvious. That's Rimi Krivil, line 2. Gabi matzah dafka bina ashetechshach. Kedetanya betosefta, pesach matzah mor, betzvasim ishetechshach. Why? There's a pasuk. Vyachu asabosa balayla hazeh, balayla hazeh. Umatzah umor iskashu de pesach. As opposed to Suda Shabbos v'yomtiv, as we know, you make early Shabbos, you can have Mibod Yom, you can make Kiddush, you can have a Suda, etc., etc. Fine. It says over here that there's a possibility of a Sudas, Shabbos, and Kiddush when it's still light outside. However, when it comes to Korban Pesach and Matzah, it's absolutely impossible. Take a look in source number 8. Chassam Sofer. On this very Mishnah, Asher Techshach, Nireh, the lachila dafka kaptina nashetechshach, aber mikol makom yochol lekadesh mishetishka chama, but b'chol Shabbos v'yomtiv, v'yarech b'sipuri agado ad shetechshach, v'yoz yochel. That's amazing. Amazing. He says you can make kiddush by day. It's against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, you have to make Kiddush after it gets dark. For a whole variety of reasons. It's one of the four cups of wine. It's going to lead to the karpas. Not going to those. He says, no. As long as you eat the matzah when it gets dark, you're okay. How can it be? It says lechem shalom dvaram harbe. It's not matzah time yet. What's going on over here? So we can make the, again, I'm going to be makatzah because my time is running short. We can suggest the following two possibilities. One is that we should understand that he didn't quite mean you can go all the way until matzah. You can go up until where? You can better guess. Until where can you go? Rabbi Gamliel Omer. We just said before, Yochel Bibod Yom only goes on Masjim or Menachel Lefanecha. So you can say Kiddush and go 90% of the Haggadah, whatever you send a Shabbos Haggadah, you repeat now, you know, it's just before the stars come out. And then, as soon as you see three stars, Rabbi Gamliel Omer. That's one possibility. But there's yet another possibility. He meant you can do the entire, till the very end. The question is, what about, but it has to be Matzah Marmen Ochel Lefanecha. So Rabbo say, our final duality, there were two halachas with Matzah too. Sure. Matzah is an independent mitzvah, which we have applies today, Be'erev Tochlu Matzahs. But Matzahs is also a mitzvah which connects to Korban Pesach. We just read the pasuk. V'yochlu asabasa b'layla azeh, tzli eishu Matzah Marmen Yochlu. So the Gemara is an expression in Psachim, the matzah is called Hechshera de Pischa on that tzadi. It's connected to Korban Pesach, and so is Moro. Moro is only Hechshera de Pischa. Moro today is B'drabana. Matzah has two dimensions. There's the independent mitzvah of matzah, Berav Tochlu Matzahs, and then is it V'ochlu Sabasa Balayla Azeh. It's only that second dimension. V'ochlu Sabasa Balayla Azeh, Tzliyeshu Matzah, Merom Yochlu, that's Laila Dafka. But Be'erev Tochlu Matzahs, Faket. We read it yesterday. Barishon, Be'abo, also, Be'erev Tochlu Matzahs. If you wouldn't know better, you'd think it's really on the 14th. Chazal Darshan, it's the Erev to the end of the 14th. But they can have to serve as Yom Tov, and therefore, it's considered reciting the Haggadah over the Matzah, because of the dimension of Matzah, which is independent from the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach. Now we come to my final conclusion. Source number 18. Or Achayim HaKadosh asks a fantastic question on the Pasuk Vigata. We say it all the time. We know it by heart. Vigata lebincha b'yomu hulemer. Stop right there. Tzarech ledas lama lo oma ve'omarta ki tevas hagoda matzinu l'rabosenu zal shamu in Shabbos pezayin shiskaven bodvorim koshim kigidim kosoma lebeis Yaakov elu hanoshim amir araka. What a great kasha. So he says, his venira, fifth line, maskel bignus mesayim b'shvach. You start with the difficult part, that's Haggadah, from Koshim, and the b'shvach, the fact that we were saved from Mitzrayim. Very nice, Or Chaim's pshat. May I suggest, and here we're going to move a little bit into a brief, I guess you might call it a Dvar Musar, a Dvar Hashkafa. Vigata Lebincha is the paradigm for educating children all year long. And this applies to boys and girls. Ravadja writes that there's no mir of bitcha over here. Boys and girls equally. How do we raise our children? How do we raise our children is the question of all questions. Nothing can go on if you don't raise our children properly. And so let me go back historically to some of the periods that you've read about or even experiencing yourself. When I was young, we had to read in school certain Victorian era works, such as Oliver Twist, coming from England, or Tom Sawyer, and then coming from America. Hatzara Shavashabahem. On both sides of the Atlantic in the Victorian era, end of the 19th century, was Petch. You ever read those? The switch and the beatings. The kids were raised with unbelievable punishments. That's it. It was all discipline. You had to be disciplined. You went out of line, wacko. For that, the people go to jail today for much less than that. That's how it was. That's how they raised their children at that period of time. And you know, I've seen myself in certain parts of society, even in Orthodox Jewish society, where they're still going with the same halach. You whip your kid into shape, kid behaves well in school, comes back with 100 every time. You walk around, that kid's a mess, my kid. You never see a speck on his clothes. He has perfect manners, gets 100 in every test. If he doesn't, it's... So of course, the kid performs. He has no choice. How do we say it in our language? Kofen also, and Shiomer Osani. See, I'm a successful parent. Dvorim Koshim Kigidin. That's one extreme. The other extreme, we have modern parenting. It's sometimes called positive parenting, which means they took a word out of the vocabulary. A two-letter word. What's it called?
No.
You never let it say no. You look at books written. Never say no. Later, perhaps, not right now, it's not so good for you. Don't say the word no to your child. You're damaging your child's psyche. Don't say the word no. What we call this the most permissive parenting that's ever happened in history. Do whatever you want. No discipline. Kids just run amok, wild. They're not disciplined. There's a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, who an American yeshiva, but the boys come at age 18 after finishing high school, and he says to me, for the first time in their lives, from him, they hear the word no. I want to go here. No. What? I mean, no. No, you can't leave the yeshiva for Shabbos. No, but I want it. No. I'd like you to look, when you get home, in the first Medrash Rabbah in Sefer Shmos. It's all about Shmos. Ve'ele Shmos b'nei Yisrael. They contrast Chinuch, which is seeming to be beautiful and positive and fuzzy and warm and loving. We let the kids do whatever they want. With the strict Chosech Shifto Sonei B'no. They quote that Pasuk. Ve'ova Shachro Musar. This is the first Pasuk which is quoted in the Medrash. And that leads to much, much better results. Not just better results, but the result is that the father loves his child and the child loves the father. By contrast, if you try to love him at the beginning, he should love you at the beginning, they end up hating each other. It's right there in the Medrash. The first Medrash in Shmos Rabbah, right in front of you. With examples on all sides, with Avraham Avinu, with David HaMelech. You go down the line. So permissive parenting is even worse. And what is the Torah's response? By the way, not going into the idea of corporal punishment nowadays, if you look at Rav Volba Sefer, it's in English now, planting and building, in Chinuch, you'll see that he happens to be opposed to any physical punishment nowadays, unless in an emergency. He says, today we have to change a little bit, but it's not opposed to discipline. It's very important to know the difference between those two concepts. What is the Torah's approach? Do we have a Victorian approach? Or do we have... Now we'll call it a modern approach. The answer should be clear. You have a dialectic. Because either extreme is a disaster. As Rav Volba explains so beautifully in that Sefer. If you put someone in a straitjacket and you force them to do whatever you want, as soon as he gets out, he's going to rebel. We see it. He's been living in a straitjacket. Okay. Now he goes off. He's 18 years old. He's out of it. He rebels because he's been boxed up. He couldn't do anything. That's called binyan. On the other hand, the other extreme we know is a disaster. You have to have two stages in chinuch, binyan and smicha. As he has boni Yerushalayim, matzmiach karen Yeshua. Boni means with strict rules. They built this shul, I saw it said 2002. What a beautiful building. Who was the architect? Is he sitting in the room? He did an excellent job. What happened today? The board, we don't like it. We're going to move over 3 feet over here. The whole building's going to collapse. An architect has rules. It has to be here. Why not there? Those are rules. You can't play with an architect. Has to be this way, and you can't budge 1 inch. That's binyan. That's how you raise your child. There are red lines you cannot cross. You may not cross the street. Chalila cross the street. The car could come. And therefore, no, you may not go here. No, may you not do this or eat that or say this. There are rules and regulations. That's how chinuch has to begin. Must begin that way. There's no other alternative. But to think that is the essence of chinuch? Chas v'sholom. That's the prerequisite for chinuch. The real chinuch is only love and closeness and warmth. What do you find this? In five words, the Torah gave us this duality. V'gadta lebincha b'yom ahu lemor. What's lemor doing here, Esther Orchaim? It means k'day lemor. You want to give your child love, amira raka, soft and nice and fuzzy and warm. That is the essence of chinuch. But you can't get there until you first set down the rules. There's a hierarchy. There's a father and there's a son. Today, they're all equals. That destroys everything. You have to establish the lines of authority. You have to set rules. You have to have a binyan. Then you have warm and fuzzy and loving. That's what's called smicha. And then the child can develop his or her own way. Go this way they want. That's how you raise children. With this mixture, this combination of a little agada, a little bit. That's a prerequisite. But the most important thing is lema. I end with a bracha. Each and every one of us should be inspired by the dialectic of Seder night to understand that it's not just a Seder night. What you're doing in your home to Seder night is a paradigm for the entire year. All the way we raise our children throughout the year, as they grow up, we should all be zocher to raise children and grandchildren, banim of nebanim, oskim b'torah v'mitzvos, amen v'yamin.
Amen.
If there are questions, I'm happy to try to answer them now. If there are questions, please. Yes.
If according to you, there's a connection between Pesach, Matzah, and Mogah, and the Haggadah, why in Perek Ches, where the Rambam spells out that the mitzvahs, even during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, he doesn't say Magdia Psach HaPesach
Ma'idmet. Can't, you're not allowed to, because no.
No, that's for today.
He does say it. It's just,
but even for Zman HaMikdash.
He said it. It's just skipped in the sources.
What?
This is not a complete source sheet.
No.
It's not there?
I'm familiar with that, Rambam. It's not there.
It somewhere exists.
It's a perennial passion okay. That I have. So
if you show me a Rambam, I'm happy to try to look with you. Okay. Thank you very much for your kind, and you also your great questions. It was terrific.
Anybody just wants to leave benching? We're going to do a quick Zoom in here. Anybody not bench yet? Anybody want to lead us? Also, just the next Kol Yom Rishon is on Lag BaOmer, a little Pesach break. It's going to be Dr. Eddie Wright here. Something on medical
ethics.
Where's the wrong place?
Go ahead,
we have 10? Yeah.
There's 10
in the room.
Okay, sorry. Rabotani, all
I remember I told you, wait, to be.